on this edition of the Under Center Podcast, brought to you by St. Xavier University. Tony Gill, Eric Strobel, and I discuss the possibilities, oh my, if Russell Wilson is indeed traded to the Bears.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What does it mean to be a Chicago Bear? It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense.
I think it's the one franchise that when you think about them, being a defensive player myself, I think that's the first thing you go to.
Legends, linebackers, defensive linemen, dominant players.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
I mean, what more can you say?
Hey, welcome into the Under Center Podcast, a product of NBC Sports Chicago. We cover all things Bears and NFL with the great Tony Gill, the awesome Eric Strobel. I'm David Kaplan. It's all brought to you by St. Xavier University. All right, guys, we are waiting for the other shoe to drop. We don't think Mitch will be back, Mitch Trubisky. Nick Foles is under contract, but we've been waiting on Deshaun Watson, what's going to happen there. And then comes word, oh my goodness, Russell Wilson. I'm not demanding a trade, but if I was, I'd look at Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Chicago Bears. Tony, when you heard that, did you go, okay, is this a joke?
Well, yeah, thanks. It's fun to be a part of the Russ Talk podcast here. but yeah, man, like, you don't, it's like the pretty girl in high school that you never thought would give you a shot. And she's like, what you doing Saturday? And you're like, you're looking around, you're like, you're talking to me? It's like, it's so like kind of unthinkable that a premier, and he's an older guy, but a premier guy wants to play for your team, even in discussion. Now, it did come up with some, you know, PTSD, like, could he be using the Bears for leverage, which is 100% a possibility to get to where he actually wants. But because when you think about what has gone on, and you try and justify it, right? You're like, all right, they were kind of 500. Nagy hasn't had a losing, you know, record overall. So I guess you can see if a quarterback wanted to come here. But again, we know we've been here. We've seen what this looks like and what kind of coach Matt Nagy is and the kind of GM Ryan Pace is. And you're like, why would anybody really want to be a part of this? But it still feels good to know that the Bears were in the conversation, I guess.
So one of my best friends from college, he scouts in the league, and he said, that guy's way more respected, talking about Matt, than you guys in Chicago give him credit for. He said, I'm just telling you that if he hit the market, he's going to have teams calling because they think he's a really good offensive mind, and he's been hamstrung by bad offensive line, bad tight end play prior to this last year. Mitch wasn't great. Nick Foles isn't great. He said, I'm just telling you, more credit to that guy than you guys are willing to give him. You believe that, Eric?
And that's kind of where I was going to take this, Cap. Good to be with you guys, by the way. When that list came out, you know, we had the Athletic feature that morning before the list of teams came out. Really interesting. Highly recommend giving it a read. But then his agent, it's not just rumors, his agent gave this list of teams to Adam Schefter. So this is not some, you know, oh, maybe that's a whisper coming out of Seattle. This is bedrock. And it's the first time we've been talking about quarterbacks all winter here. And it's the first time it's not just pure conjecture, like, ooh, maybe they could get Deshaun if they could convince him that this is the place to be. No, Russell Wilson named the Bears. Like, that's a big deal. That's different than what we've seen before. I think that's why you're seeing a little more excitement than maybe the pie in the sky Deshaun Watson thing. And yeah, Cap, I thought that same thing. It's like, you know what? Maybe, you know, we're in the weeds with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, for better or for worse. We're looking at them every day. We're dissecting every decision. you know, to the nth degree. And that, you know, got me thinking maybe he is viewed a little more favorably than those of us than in Chicago by those of us who are kind of in the rut with him, if you will. And, you know, yeah, like you ran down the list, you know, he hasn't had a great quarterback. He hasn't had great tight ends before this past season. There have been schematic issues here and there. That being said, you know, regardless of how they got there, they have made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, and he does have a winning record. It's not like this has been some train wreck, even though it sometimes feels
it's
like
not
it.
Mark, you know, yeah.
Correct. It's not a dumpster fire like it was in 2013 and, well, more than 2014. So
one of the reports that I read over the weekend was that Russell Wilson sat at the Super Bowl with Ciara and the commissioner and went, okay, why can't I go somewhere else and start bringing my guys in and have all the say like Tom did? And he's not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's a pretty damn good quarterback that, hold on a second, you let me go to Chicago. What a stage. It's Brandon Marshall said, top 10, the Chicago Bears fan base and the stage you'd be on, top 10 in all of sports. Top 10 in all of sports. Now, he may not be right. That's what he told him. And what if he said, hold on a minute, Ciara and I are very involved in social justice and trying to get people, especially people of color, to be treated with more respect, to police brutality, systemic racism. What better platform, Tony Gill, would you have than coming to Chicago where we've had our share of issues?
Yeah. Tony Gill right there for discussed all the social justice things.
I mean, don't you think that's that, right?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I mean, it always fits, right? In terms of the platform, in terms of the area that he, Chicago is a sleeping giant, right? I mean, right. Sports-wise, like it's a sleeping giant. And, you know, look at what it was like just when hockey, which is a niche sport, kind of took over. Like it was huge.
Huge. So,
imagine, you know, football being relevant again in Chicago and being, I'm sure that's it. When you picture it that way, I'm sure it's enticing, but it's a tall task.
It is.
If it doesn't work, Bears fans will go after you. Like if you can't serve us hope, like the last season and the season before that were giving hope was an issue. Because then you disappointed. Like, yeah, you made the playoffs 2 out of, you know, last 3 years, but we weren't promised just playoff visits with this. It needs to be Super Bowl visits. And I appreciate somebody who it seems like kind of out of character for Russell Wilson in terms of using his power as a quarterback and as a really good quarterback. But I'm glad to see that he's using it. I'm glad to see that he's making a statement.
Let me ask you guys this question. He's a brand. He comes to Chicago where they haven't had a quarterback since Sid freaking Luckman. Seriously. I mean, a really good quarterback. And he says, hold on a second. I can go there. I can try and convince some guys to come with me. And his wife has a massive brand. Massive. Can you imagine that power couple with the issues our city has faced and the issues our football team has faced and say, we're going to get involved on every level?
Well, they would immediately become the first sports couple of the city. There's no doubt about that. Not even nobody else even in the ballpark. As much as I love Jay and Kristen, I think, yeah, they're a thing of the past. There's no doubt about that. As much as I enjoy Jay directing a fan to chug a pitcher to get an autograph with him on the slopes, that was fantastic. I mean, I look at, yeah, obviously there's a ton of opportunities here, but there's also a ton of opportunities on the West Coast. So, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a factor there or in Dallas. Like, I don't know if that'll be the deciding factor. I just look at it as you look at what Russell did last season. He was being talked about as the MVP through the first quarter or so of the season and tailed off a little bit, but had a real strong season. He threw for over 4,000 yards, had 40 touchdowns. Those would both be Bears single season franchise records by a mile, by a wide margin. If he just played to his standards for, say, he got here at 32 and he played that way till he was 38, 39, he'd be the leading passer in almost every statistical category in the Bears. Like, he could be the Bears quarterback ever. And if he's here with, you know, some of the defense they have, and obviously they'd be looking to add on offense around him, and maybe he could bring some guys in just like Tom Brady did, I think the sky's the limit there. I mean, and if you win, you were talking about a few minutes ago, like how this city rallies around its teams. The Bears are the team in this town. When the Bears are good, there's nothing like it. There's no reaction by any other fan base, any other team here. And that's no slight against them. It's just, this is a Bears town. And when the Bears are good, we saw it in 2018 in particular, and in 2006 and five, that, you know, that era too, the city goes nuts. He can be a legend. And that's, I think, a key thought process for him looking to the second half of his career here. How will I be remembered as one of the greats to do it? Like, he's already well on his way. He's had an awesome career in Seattle, but you could become a legend by winning with the Bears.
Don't you think part of it is, I'm going to put this thing together? Hey, man, if I agree to do this, I'm getting some say here on what we're doing offensively, who I'm playing with. Like, I am going to be the face of everything. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's weird because even if you just did a roster kind of matchup between the two teams, which also I might be cooling the waters here and peeing on everybody's parade here, but Seattle is still better than the Bears. What would he be after trading the amount that it would cost to get him? You'd be even worse than what you already are in terms of everything around him. And you look at his said issues, right? Which is, I'm tired of getting hit, offensive line play. Well, it's also a little bit on him, though, the way he holds on to the ball, trying to make the big plays, and that's on him. And I don't know if the Bears can protect him any better, you know, than that. I don't know if his running back situation is better than Cordarrelle Patterson and David Montgomery. And certainly his receiving core, as of right now, is he's got one of the top five receivers in the league in DK Metcalf. Right, and he has an excellent a complimentary receiver.
Tyler Lockett.
And Tyler Lockett. So it's like there's nothing – the only reason why he would want to come here really is so he can have a say-so in what goes on. As soon as Seattle bends to that and say, hey, okay, what do you want? All of this is done with. And this
I don't agree. I think that the stage of Chicago for their brand, for the football part of it and everything else – I think that all factors in, man.
But that's not tangible, though. I'm talking about like tangible things that you can say, okay, this is here, this is here, this is here. In terms of winning football games and increasing his legend, his best opportunity is still in Seattle. So this is just strictly a power move. I want to do what I want to do. I want to look like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. All those guys get to have fun with their friends and do what they want with their teams. Why can't I do it here? And that's his biggest issue. And he will certainly get that in a trade. But then you're like, what do you have to play with, though?
I think the key figure here, honestly, is Pete Carroll. Like, there's been a lot of reporting last couple of days about how that franchise is run. You know, Paul Allen passed away a few years back. And that family is very hands-off. Pete Carroll runs everything in Seattle. And he's, I think he's 70 or a little older. So it's not like he has a
67, I believe.
Okay. Well, he's approaching 70. Excuse me. Sorry, Pete Carroll. Anyway, it's not like he's got decades and decades in front of him in the NFL. I don't know what's his appetite for a rebuild here. You know what I'm saying? Like, does he really want to just tear down to the studs? And I think this all boils down, like you were saying, Tony, this is a power struggle between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And is Russell Wilson going to finally get a little more of that, you know, of what he wants, a little bit more of a say? And I agree with you. If Pete Carroll kind of comes down from the mountaintop and is like, yeah, you know what, let's bury the hatchet, let's figure it out, let's work together and build, you know, the next great Seahawks team, then yeah, this is not – it's done. And his trade request that wasn't a trade request did the job. But it's still fun to kind of hypothesize about here because he would immediately be the most exciting acquisition since probably – Cutler. I think it would eclipse Mac because it's a quarterback. Like it would re-energize the fan base. It would do an untold amount of things for Ryan Pace. That's for sure. He would buy himself a little more time.
Tony, if I said to my wife, I'm not asking you for a divorce, but if I was, those four women are the ones I would consider going out with, then I'm already getting divorced, right?
This doesn't seem like the Deshaun Watson situation. Deshaun is prepared to miss out on games
and lose money.
Right. If he doesn't get moved, he's completely done with that organization. I don't feel that way because the Texans, they're just awful. Everything they've done has been awful. Their only saving grace has been Deshaun Watson. That has not been the case with Seattle. It's kind of like the theory of miscommunication, right? Where it's like, if you just had a sit down, and this is like the worst part of movies, right? It's like, if the whole movie can be resolved just by the two people having a conversation, then it's not a great movie. Like, all this has to be done to resolve this issue. If Pete Carroll says, hey, all right, maybe I do need to change a bit, I'll let, in order for the best player and the most important player on my team to get the best out of him, to have him feel most comfortable, is I let go of the reins a bit and let, he's a smart player. He's a very smart player. He's a very intelligent player. And he's been team first the whole time. Like, they gambled on that defense, right? Which was right to do for Russell Wilson. The defense didn't really like Russell Wilson. He was a good player, but as a person, they didn't vibe with him teammate-wise. And they went all in on Russell Wilson, which they should have. And he's been all in on the organization. So if he's asking for a say-so with some offense to the way he feels like they can win another Super Bowl with him, why not have him be a part of those conversations? Like, why not do that? It will only be because of your ego. And if your ego is in the way of winning, maybe they should reconsider who's making the decisions in Seattle, if that's the case.
They just signed Pete Carroll to a multi-year extension. Mm-hmm. So he's going nowhere. And if Russell said, I went to that meeting before we played Arizona and they didn't want to hear what I had to say and I walked out, maybe it is time for change.
And that could be the case. But it's just like, all right, do the Bears have what you need to accomplish what you want to accomplish, you know, in the end? I mean, those other teams on the list, they have the capital, they have the resources, they have the ability to make those changes and win. I just don't see the Bears being a top tier on it's on the list, so it's nice to be on the list, but I'm pretty sure that's the last resort. Like, all right, okay, I guess I can go to the Bears.
Eric? One thing that the Bears do have is a coach who'll let him cook. You know, Matt Nagy loves to throw the ball. So, He might be looking at that and be like, oh, that's my soulmate right there. But you look at the list he gave. Am I crazy, or are the Bears maybe better positioned on that list than people think? I mean, New Orleans is obviously going to have an opening, but they are in cap hell. They are the worst positioned team. Now, the salary cap can be manipulated, maneuvered, et cetera, but they are in really bad shape with the cap. Dallas has the specter of Dak Prescott. Would you really want to let go of Dak Prescott, one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, albeit coming off a pretty serious injury? By all accounts, he's doing fine in his recovery, to try and give up more assets except for just the money it would take to sign Prescott to get Wilson. Vegas obviously has a quarterback. They'd probably be a swap, and that would just be a kind of not lateral move because Wilson is better than Derek Carr. But I don't know. I feel like the Bears, out of those four teams, are the most desperate, and B, can kind of offer the most and fit him in, even though they're not in a great cap situation either. I don't know. I feel like they might be better positioned than people think if a move were to happen. And that's really the biggest question in all this.
So I still think he'll get say here. It's a fresh start here. And I think people are underestimating the power of this city with those two brands, Sierra, whatever her name is, Sierra and Russell Wilson in this city. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good, but how many times have we gone into a off season thinking the brand of Chicago would be enough? You know, like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, other big time potential free agents. Baseball has plenty of them, of people just Chicago, I guess, but not really.
But someone that I trust said to me that LeBron was all in to go to the Bulls, but he had made a deal. It's going to be me, Dwayne, and Chris Bosh, and you got to clear a third spot. And the Bulls were unable to clear the money to get a third spot. So they said, we'll take the two of you. And they went, nope, we made an agreement. Now, whether that's true or not, we'll never know. But that's someone who would know told me that.
Yeah, I mean, but the end all be all is they didn't come here.
That's true.
And it's affected the organization, for years. And it's created this kind of narrative and a stigma about the city
Good
that,
point.
in all sports. Like, I mean, what, the biggest free agents, John Lester, Hosa, Candace Parker.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not particularly, well, maybe Hosa, you know, young.
Julius Peppers, maybe, for the Bears.
Like, Julius Peppers, you know, maybe. But Chicago isn't the, hasn't been, at least in recent years, the go-to spot. Just assuming just because of this, what being in the third largest market could do for your brand. Like, you need something else, apparently, to get these people locked in. What are you doing organizationally? Is it player friendly? It hasn't been really recently, you know, for the Bears. Like, all that stuff, like, it's cool and it's fun to have in the backdrop, but it shouldn't be in the forefront. What are you bringing tangibly to the table to help this player, said player, win championships and be relevant for the remainder of his career?
Well, I think something I agree with a lot of what you said there, Tony. One thing that was interesting, Cap, you mentioned Brandon Marshall earlier. He was on First Things First, I think, the other day. And a very interesting nugget from Peter King's Football Morning in America column this morning. He broke down kind of the four named teams and what the, you know, kind of draw would be, possible fits would be, et cetera. And he mentioned something that I had not seen anywhere else, that Jimmy Graham, who played in Seattle with Russ for a couple seasons, was really working on Russ and kind of, you know, they're close and he's telling him how much he's enjoyed his time in Chicago and with the Bears, even though it's just been the one season. So it's interesting because you have now a couple guys who he played with. Marshall was only for a season or so, but still guys he played with, guys he's close with, singing the praises of the Bears. And I think that matters in the fraternity of NFL players. Like, when these guys have big career life decisions to make, and whether you're, you know, JJ Watt, who just signed with the Cardinals today, or a guy looking at, you know, at trade destinations like Russ or Deshaun Watson, I'm sure that they're definitely talking amongst themselves with friends around the league and like, hey, Jimmy, you know, you've been in deep with, you know, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace at Hallis Hall for a year. Like, how did they handle the COVID? How did they work with you guys to, you know, make things easy as possible on you? What's the vibe in the locker room? Like, all these little things that we would never know are going on outside of, you know, any of these little reports, these nuggets that come out. But I think that matters. And I think that it's a really good sign that we're seeing in these reports about Graham in particular, that's happening. Those talks are happening and that the Bears are being sold to Russ. And that if, you know, that decision comes to a head and he needs to actually demand a trade, then, you know, again, can't be discounted.
Here's the other thing. Look how many ex-Bears make Chicago their home, even though they were not Chicagoans till they got here. A lot of guys have said to me, dude, it's the greatest city for an ex-athlete who was really good to go on and build on another career and to live here. And a lot of guys have done that, done it successfully.
My question here is, what's the pivot for the Bears? Like, they didn't go after Wentz. They don't seem like they're in on Watson because it may cost too much, air quotes.
I think, Tony, they would pay the price. I think you're right. They're not in on Watson if indeed they're not, because they don't have the capital to give.
Right.
Don't have the ammo, yeah.
So, right. I mean, if they miss out on Russell Wilson, are they bringing back Wentz and Trubisky?
You mean Foles.
Foles.
Right. Why did I say Wentz? Foles and Trubisky?
No chance.
So what's
why would you confuse Carson Wentz and Nick Foles? What possible reason would you have to do that? Exactly.
Like, they can't. You can't have your team president at that awful Zoom meeting at the end of the year and go, have we gotten the quarterback entirely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. But everything else is in place.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play?
Right.
I think if they're going to go, they've been in on everyone. They were reportedly in on Stafford. They were obviously sniffing around Wentz. They're on Russell Wilson's shortlist. You know, they've made a call. Even if Nick Caserio didn't pick up, you know, they're one of the messages left on his machine. They're going to be in on everybody. And, you know, maybe they come up with something, maybe they don't, but it won't be for lack of trying. I'm not saying that that's a credit to them, but we know that they're doing their due diligence. They're doing what they can. I think if they were not, if we get through, you know, 2 weeks from now is the tampering period, and then free agent, you know, the new league year starts on Wednesday, the 17th of March. If it gets, you know, to the end of March and something hasn't materialized, I think you start to look at, okay, maybe Foles will, obviously Foles is under contract. Maybe he's still here and they're looking to make a move in the draft to go get, you know, somebody, maybe they move up to 10 or something from 20 to get a guy who falls like a Trey Lance or something like that, or Mac Jones. Obviously it won't be Trevor Lawrence. They don't have the ammo to get up to number one. And, you know, that's neither here nor there, but I think if you see them, Tony, talking about the pivot, if they don't get one, you know, one of these clear upgrades, I'm not talking about bringing in a lateral guy to compete with Nick Foles. That's like the worst case scenario. That's not,
you mean like a Tyrod Taylor?
Sure. Like somebody who's had some success, but is not a game changer. Right. Or like a Jacoby Brissett or an Andy Dalton or something, somebody of that, all due respect, that next tier down, right. It's not game changer quarterbacks. At that point, I think you look at, Foles being a bridge, Foles being a mentor to somebody that they maybe use some draft capital to go up and grab on April 29th. But that's just my two cents. I think they're going to try and fix it any way possible before then.
That makes me wildly uncomfortable.
I know.
Trading up for another quarterback, I mean, it doesn't make me feel more confident in this team, especially with aspirations to compete as soon as possible. And I just don't like the feeling of any sport having their hopes and dreams hinging on a rookie, like on a rookie to make it, to fix all of your issues that you've had before. Like, I just don't believe in that plan. Like it's hope trafficking. It's hope trafficking. And I'm tired of the hope trafficking about parts of it. Like, I'm an Alabama fan. So I like Mac Jones. Would I like Mac Jones here? I don't know. Like, I mean, they had a guy with all the physical tools, right? And they couldn't really make it work with him. Then they got the smart guy, and they couldn't really make it work with him. So it's like,
Does it make either of you feel any better that Matt Nagy was instrumental in Patrick Mahomes ending up in Kansas City?
I was literally about to say the one thing that's different, that would be different this time, whether it's in a, you know, free agency or a trade or the draft, is that Nagy's going to have a huge hand. Now, was he part of the Nick Foles act? Sure. Yes, of course. But that was a little bit different scenario. They still had Mitch here. That wasn't so much looking for someone to supplant him, was looking for someone to push him, right? They were trying to see if they could finally coax something out of that. Yeah. Get some water out of that rock. And it didn't happen. This time it's like, okay, we're blowing it up. We're going for broke here. And I think, you know, they've not selected a quarterback in the draft with Matt Nagy in the war room. So I think that's an interesting factor to consider if they get to the draft still needing a quarterback. You know, I think, like I said, I think they're going to do everything possible to get a quarterback before the draft and then kind of build around him in the draft. But we'll see what happens. But it's definitely a different aspect of this than Pace has ever had in his year before, in regards to the quarterback position and in regards to a new starter, which I don't consider Foles to be last year.
Tony, if I texted you at 1 o'clock in the morning and I said,
"You up?
Wake up! Russell Wilson just got traded to the Bears," would you fall over dead or would you go, "I kind of was expecting this," or are you somewhere else?
Well, first I would be like, emergency podcast.
Yeah.
that'll be my first thought. We got to get this content out here, man. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
My next thought would be, okay, he's here. What do we do with him? Because the big thing is, okay, how do the Bears not waste him? Right. So what did they give up? All right, they gave up all the draft capital. So we can't depend on the draft. Okay, what player did they give up? Who? Roquan? Roquan's gone. We're already kind of thin at the linebacker position. But that's not important. You're going to have to release some of the defense to get better at the offensive part. All right, where's Allen Robinson now? Right? Like, is he coming back? If not, do I feel comfortable with Darryl Mooney as my number one receiver?
No.
I do not. So, okay. What, like, I'm already thinking, and it's strictly because probably it's the Bears and the PTSD of being a Bears fan, because it's like, yeah, you got the guy, but what's around him? Like, what's around him? Because again, like I said before, the Seattle team is better than this Bears team without any trades happening. Now you're giving up the capital. You made yourself worse to get Russell Wilson, but what's around him now? How are you going to supplement that with in, to take advantage, because Aaron Rodgers is still in the prime of his career. Minnesota, they got Justin Jefferson, who has extended Kirk Cousins' career. Mm-hmm. There's things here, like in this division, that you have to beat out, and I still don't think it's enough. So yeah, you made all the as it's kind of like a last ditch effort, but what else?
Eric, they just made a move to the Bears just seconds ago. They hired Texas's former coach, Tom Herman, is coming in as an offensive analyst, joining Matt Nagy's staff.
Yeah, it's an interesting. It's his first NFL job. And deep Twitter cut. Will we see kind of the pee color charts maybe back in Hallis Hall? Do you remember that, Kev? You're a bad teammate. The yellower it gets because you're not hydrating. All jokes aside, I mean, hey, you can't have enough. We've had conversations, you know, between those of you on this pod and outside of the pod for the last couple of years about how there's a lack of diversity in the scheme and the ideas, the offensive kind of concepts that are at Hallis Hall, right? And over the last year or so, Nagy's kind of started to take aim at that and bring in a few more people. He brought in some people from outside and DeFilippo and Laser, and now he's bringing in somebody else with, you know, an offensive background to kind of really help, you know. And you have Mike Pettine in there too now from the defensive side of the ball, a guy who handled Matt Nagy's offense 6 times in 3 years. And I think you can't have enough people, enough eyes on what you're trying to do to get better, to say, hey, you know what, this route combination, not really going to do a whole lot, or whatever, you know. Like, I think it's never, you know, bad to have more sets of eyes in the building. If I were to get the call from you at 2 o'clock in the morning, the hypothetical call that you gave Tony, I'd be ecstatic. And I'm not saying, you know, that Tony's questions about what's next don't matter. I'm very much of the school of thought, Cap. We talked about this during Super Bowl week, that if you get a great quarterback, and Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, it's the rising tide that lifts all boats. You can get away with some things here and there because you have a guy of that caliber, of that stature. And while I would certainly be, you know, ooh, we lost Roquan in that hypothetical that Tony posed, like, that's going to be a bit of a hole, that, you know, sure. I just think there's really no price too high to get a guy at the most important position in all of sports, not just in this sport, and you figure the rest out later. That's just my two cents. I'm not saying there wouldn't be problems. You'd have to figure out what to do with Allen Robinson, because no, I don't believe that Darnell Mooney is a number one. He's a great little player, but not a number one receiver. Doesn't have the stature for it. I don't know. I would be thrilled. And, you know, we could let the at NBCS Bears account be Russ talk for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, that was a lot of fun, man. I hope I am making that call going, Tony, Eric, wake up.
It's probably going to go to voicemail. Yeah, it's probably going to go to voicemail, just to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, keep calling me until I wake up, if that's the case, okay?
I know where you live. I don't. He's in the city, but you're not far from me. I will be.
Bang on the door.
Oh, we got to go wake up Gil. All right, you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. By the way, Tony, that jacket is just fire, man.
Oh, yeah, my NASA jacket. Let's go, man.
That's sick. Awesome.
That's something sick. Will be out of this world. Yeah. I'll leave now.
Ba-dum-bum. All right, that is a wrap for this really fun, spirited edition of our Under Center podcast, brought to you by St. Xavier University. For Tony Gill, for Eric Strobel, I'm David Kaplan. See you next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.